RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Can your children master their fundamental sports skills? What can they do developmentally at various ages so that you know that they can participate in certain sports? My guest, Dr. Paul Stricker, is one of a small number of doctors in the U.S. who's board certified in both sports medicine and pediatrics. So, Dr. Stricker, what do you think are the most important concepts in sports success for our children?
I think understanding how kids develop those sports skills in a sequential manner is just like understanding, going through the baby book and seeing what your kid can do as soon as they're born. I love the fact that parents will say, hey, you know, my kid can roll over and sit up and stand, and then there's nothing more after that in the baby book. So I love the fact that people should be able to understand that beyond that, kids are able to continue on sports skills that go way into their teenage years, and if they get a grasp of that, that's the beginning of minimizing pressure and maximizing their success.
How early can we start children? Because now I think they're starting some children in team sports as young as 3 and 4 years old in soccer.
Yeah, that's getting pretty early. I sit there and laugh because I think some of those activities at age 3 and 4 are really more just wonderful social events for the kids to be there and to learn how to play and to run. And it's just a little bit more of an organized situation. But when there's pressure, when there's, you know, already a real competitive edge on a 3 or 4 year old, that becomes inappropriate because they're just not set up for that yet. They don't view it the same way, and they certainly aren't physically and developmentally capable at that age of doing significant amounts of activity.
What should they be able to do at 3 years old with a baseball or a football or a soccer ball? Should they be able to control where it goes?
You may have a handful of them that might be able to or get lucky a couple of times, but typically we would think not. Most of those kids in that kind of 0 to 5 are just really learning how to do the fundamentals. You know, they're basically learning how to stand up without falling over and to just learn how to hop and skip and start to run. They go through kind of a weird balance control issue around 4 to 5 sometimes that makes it kind of awkward, and so they really do literally have to focus on not falling down. And a lot of the parents that have these 5-year-old soccer kids might be screaming, you know, get the ball from the sideline. The kid's thinking, don't fall down, don't fall down. So they're really just learning the basic stuff. Kind of that 6 to 9 age group, it's more of they're learning how to run in a more adult fashion. By about age 7 or 8, they're gaining adult balance control by about 7 or 8, so they don't have to think about it. And then their visual maturity kicks in kind of 8, 9, 10, where they're able to do a better job at either meeting or catching a moving object. And it just keeps going from there. But it's really fascinating. They've got physical, chemical, psychological skills all developing at different rates at different times.
Can they see the ball when they're 3, 4 years old? Can they see it if it's kicked far away? Or, I mean, is their vision keeping up with what their little bodies are trying to do?
Absolutely not. It's a great point. They're very separate. It's on its own developmental track. At first, they're very, usually very kind of nearsighted, and they don't have that good focus sometimes, and their eyeball is just a different shape. It hasn't really matured yet, and so some of those moving object sports are really difficult, hence the beauty of T-ball for 5-year-olds, because it's a stationary ball sitting on a little pole, and they can do a better job of trying to hit that stationary object.
Well, and we don't want to be, you know, throwing the frisbee or the ball and having it bounce off their head. You know, you've seen that done, and the kids just kind of stand there. So if parents want to start at least getting their children a little more coordinated, is it possible, Dr. Stricker, for parents to increase some of these developmental milestones, or do we just let them happen as they happen?
Most of them, we let them happen as they happen. Absolutely, some mild exposure to these activities can enhance some of those skills, and so that's why a lot of gymnasts, you know, they're just doing little bitty tumbling and rolling around on the floor, but they're already learning how to do some balance, and so some of those kids will have a faster ability to gain balance control. So certain things you can increase just a little bit, but the majority of those skills are on a genetic sequence that cannot be extremely sped up by excessive practice. And you have to remember that not all those skills, no matter what you do, are going to be developed the same for every child, or else, you know, there'd be no competition because everybody'd be great at everything.
Well, they certainly would, and parents need to be reminded that children are not little adults, right? They're not just mini adults that we can sort of mold those ways.
Yeah, your kid is definitely not a mini-me. It's a very wrong
as much
perception.
As we'd like them to be.
Yeah, but it is a wrong perception. They aren't just miniaturized adults. They are completely different. Their skeleton is totally different, of course. Their chemistry, everything about that is, and how they process, that's another developmental skill, is how do they process instruction and rapid changes and things that require memory strategies. Again, those are things that develop over time.
Now, with kids, Dr. Stricker, will you be able to tell as they start to play certain sports if they were one of these gifted or if they absolutely have no proclivity for that sport? And if that's the case, do you then try something new or watch them play and they can't really ever hit the ball?
That's a good point, because you don't want kids to be defeated. We want all these kids to really enjoy success, because to me, success is personal accomplishment and achievement and feeling good about that. Because there's over 44 million kids involved in sports, so there's not going to be 44 million first placers or gold medalists. So we've got to understand that there's a way for these children to have true success. It just doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be in first place. But if you see a kid struggling repeatedly, and they aren't getting it even over time and with good instruction, that just may not be their gig. I was terrible at ball sports, but you throw me in a pool, I excelled tremendously. So we love the idea of exposing children to multiple activities, because then both the parent and the child are going to see which ones they're better at, which ones they enjoy the most, and then which ones they're most drawn to. We just can't always answer that question for the child as much as we may want to, but that broad exposure is going to maybe reveal something you maybe even never thought of that your child could do and do well. So I think that's part of the fun, and that just helps them become more rounded in their skill development.
So then in that case, a parent would say, well, you know, honey, let's try T-ball, because maybe soccer or maybe, you know, something along those lines. So the parent has to tactfully change gears so the kids don't think to themselves, oh, my parents think I'm terrible at this.
Well, that's true. The how they receive reaction from their parents is incredibly impactful on a child. So you're absolutely right. That needs to be something that the child does not sense, that there's any disappointment from the parent. And I think it's easier sometimes if there's a broad exposure to 2, 3, 4 different activities scattered around, instead of focusing on one and then saying, oh, well, you know, let's move you over to this sport. That's a little bit more dramatic, whereas if there's exposure to lots of different ones along the way, then changing sports here and there doesn't seem to be a threat to the child's self-esteem.
Can you give too much encouragement to a child, Dr. Stricker?
You can in the sense that if everything they see as a positive reaction from your parents comes based on the sport, then a lot of their self-identity and their self-worth becomes emotionally attached to that sport. So then it's not, I'm Johnny who likes to play basketball. I am Johnny the basketball player. And if I have a bad game, then people are going to think badly of me. So they start to gain more and more pressure. So if a parent is over supportive, and it's all based on that sport, then the child perceives that, well, the only way my parent really loves me is when I'm playing that sport.
So we
there
have
is a boundary.
There is a boundary in your book, Sports Success RX, Your Child's Prescription for the Best Experience. It is an excellent book by Dr. Paul Stricker, and so you should get this book at Amazon, and remember, you can listen anytime or on the go at RadioMD.com. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.